to kind of start out today, and the overall idea of this is about church being essential or optional in our life. And when I'm talking about that, I'm not just talking about, it was funny because Dennis Ritchie and I were talking today, and he was asking me about next week, and he said, well, I think I'm going to be gone next week. And I said, well, that's great you're here, because I'm talking about, is church essential or optional? So I'm glad you're here to hear it. But it is not like that. It's not like, oh, you can't miss church. But it's the idea of, is church essential for us? Or is it optional? So let's hear the words of the writer of Hebrews. It says, let us not give up meeting together. I'm reading NLT and I'm quoting NIV. But let me read what's on the page. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. And then it says this, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. One of the things that you have in the New Testament certainly is this idea that Jesus is coming and he's coming soon. And if that feeling were true of that day, then we certainly need to have a sense that he's certainly closer now than he was then. So he is coming. So I'm just going to talk. I'm going to read. If I have time, we'll maybe do some questions at the end or some comments. But let me ask you this. You may have had somebody ask you this before. Do you have to go to church to be a Christian? Has anybody heard some form of that question in their lifetime? Raise your hand. Okay. If you're a churchgoer and you know somebody that is a Christian and doesn't go to church, that's going to come up probably somewhere. And I comment there, the answer in their minds is obviously no, but is it? Now, that's supposed to be a provocative question, so let's just leave it at that. One of the things, even though I'm talking about whether the church is optional or essential, I'm not really trying to talk about church attendance, although nationwide church attendance is declining. In my classes at seminary, one of the things that was universal around the group that I had in my class was that they have more people coming to their church, but their average attendance is lower. So they have more people in general coming to services, but people are coming on average a lot less, which is interesting. But I think sometimes when we think about attendance, we think, oh, well, if the pastor would do a little better, if the music were a little better, if we gave out Land Hope gift cards. I almost said Wawa. I know. Yeah. Attendance and giving, everything's going down next week. Okay. So anyway, but I don't think the issue is better preaching necessarily, or better music, or giving things away. But I think there's kind of a new Christianity almost, and I've talked about it before, and there's a name for it, but I'm not going to give it to you because you think I'm trying to show off. I really am not. But I want you to think about this and see if you can kind of see how this kind of idea of Christianity is beginning to creep more and more into our world, into our church world. Okay, there's a God exists who created and ordered the world, and he watches over human life on earth. Okay, go with that, I guess. God wants people to be good, nice, and fair to each other, as taught in the Bible and by most world religions. So God wants us to be good, nice, and fair to each other. Those are good things. 3, the central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about oneself. The central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about oneself. 4, God does not need to be particularly involved in one's life except when God is needed to resolve a problem. And then 5, good people go to heaven when they die. So even as we kind of look at those things, now we wouldn't we would say that good people may go to heaven, but good people go to heaven because of what Jesus Christ has done and that kind of thing. But I think if you kind of look at this idea, it really is a lot of, it's kind of where people are kind of at. It's just like, you know, God is there for you, and, you know, if you need him, go to him, but he's not really particularly worried about your everyday. There's not this sense of sacrifice. There's not this sense of devotion. There's not this sense of, loving everybody, including those that hate me and persecute me. And so it's really kind of a different Christianity. And so with that as a backdrop, I kind of want to then now kind of move forward. I am going to read occasionally. So here goes. For many Christians who hold the above beliefs, the ones we just looked at, the church can actually get in the way. I was talking to a friend recently about one of his relatives, and he was raving about how nice this person was and about all the great hobbies that he had. And as he described this person, I remembered that he had said that he was a Christian, and I said, well, where does he go to church? And he made this comment. Church for him is riding his bike, skiing, and climbing mountains. And then I just commented, because of the new view of Christianity we have, it's hard to argue with this logic. You know, God created the mountains, and we're in the mountains, and so this is church for me. And again, I just want you to, I'm just going to kind of sharing, and then you kind of weed through this in your own mind about what it is that God might be speaking to you. So the question I ask, is there anything we can do about people's mindset about the church? And I think sometimes trying to beat people up about the church is not the way to go. You know, when I was growing up, the church just was always beating people up. You know, you don't go to church enough, you don't give enough, you don't do this enough, you don't do that enough. And then there's just a general sense of, well, if you beat people down, they'll do what you want them to do. And they do kind of for a while. So that's not what I'm trying to do today. But is there anything that we can do, to kind of help the situation? We're right now in the middle of a sermon series talking about the attributes of God. And I'm teaching this series because if we're going to worship and serve God, then we need to understand who he is and what he's like. And if people are going to be scriptural followers of Jesus, then they need to understand what that truly means. There's a passage in scriptures where people are coming to Jesus and they're saying, Lord, Lord, do you remember? And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. And so even as we think about this, you know, life is very serious. And there are people, and you know, the Bible saying, hey, you know, people are going to be thinking that they're all right when really, in essence, they're not. So is the church essential or optional? And again, I'm not talking about just do you go every Sunday, okay? But where it fits in your life. You guys are so quiet, I feel like I need to tell a joke. I don't have one. So I want us to think about the church. Is the church missional or optional? And then as far as our mission as a church, do we have this mission that really propels us forward? If one day you told me you do not have to go to church anymore, I would really struggle with that for a little while. Like, what's Sunday morning for? For church. But I want us to think about mission as a church together. Hear Jesus' words that he told his disciples before he leaves. He says, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So I want us to think about this question this morning. How can we take Jesus' words seriously outside of the institution of the church? Even if you're saying, I don't need the church to be a Christian, I can go and make disciples myself. The truth is, you can go and make disciples. But you know what you're going to have after a while? A church. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, there the Spirit is in the midst of them. So church is essential. So what are people's problems is the church doesn't always work very well. But when you think about Jesus' words, to go and make disciples, how can we take it seriously if we don't think about the church somehow? And again, these are just questions that I want you to be thinking about. And then I ask the question, do we have to take them seriously? If you are a Christian, now if you're not a Christian, it doesn't really apply to you. But if you are a Christian, do you have to take the word seriously of Jesus to go and make disciples and teaching them to do everything that I've commanded them to do? Do you have to take it seriously? That's a question. And then, should someone be taking them seriously? And then I think, you know, you might say, well, you should. Well, you're a preacher. You get paid to take this seriously. But so when Jesus says these words to go into all the world and teach people to obey everything I've commanded them, how seriously are we taking those words? And if we think about them personally, I'm just thinking, how can we really take it serious outside of the idea of the church? I don't think we can. The church is so integral to making things work. I'll just say this since we're here, and I don't have it written down anywhere else, but somebody brought the idea of coals to my mind one day, talking about the church, and they talk about, well, you bring hot coals, and they're all together, they all stay warm and hot, and they kind of feed off each other and stuff like that, but you take a coal, and then you separate it from everything else, and that coal just grows cold and burns out. And I'm thinking, Jesus says, listen, I want you to go into all the world and make disciples. If you're thinking, I'm just going to do this on my own, I think eventually you will just fizzle out. We need one another. That's part of what the church is. I've been wanting to share this for a long time. Christian, you ready for this? I failed my first day this week of going to the gymnasium. Although, truthfully, it was a bad weather day. The only reason I'm going to the gym is because Christian McCartney texted me, I think he texted me, and said, Pastor, I can't remember what you said, like, you want to go, let's go work on your chest muscles, or something like that. It was something like that. And he was serious. He was serious. And I thought, it is important, not that I have chest muscles, but it is important that I be in good health, I think. So here I got this young believer says, hey, let's go do what's right. What in the world am I going to say? I got television to watch, or I got sleep to accomplish. I'll tell you one thing, since I've been going, we go at 5 o'clock. Crazy. I hope the Lord helps me keep this. Christian, just keep on me. But I just think, I just hope, because it's the right thing to do. But I wouldn't be doing it by myself. And we're talking, and I think most people here who are Christians understand the idea and the importance of the Great Commission. And one of the things that I wrote in my personal life, kind of like a purpose statement, was to remember what God has done for me and that He can do the same thing in the life of somebody else. And I think God drastically changed my life. I want to remember that He can drastically change somebody else's life. We had somebody write us on Facebook the other day. Oak Ridge Boys are going to be, where are they going to be? American Music Theater. I think they Facebook Carrie, did I want to come? Carrie's like, why in the world? Now these are two people that I'm not very connected with anymore, and then maybe one I might even be on their bad side. Because their sister married a friend of mine, they divorced. Anyway, so a long story. But both of them invited me to this thing. And Carrie said, why are they inviting you to the Oak Ridge Boys? And I didn't want to tell her. Well, here's what happened. We took a youth group to Pine Knob to see the Oak Ridge Boys. And so at the Pine Knob, it's a skiing nub is what you have in Michigan. It wasn't really a hill or a mountain. It's just like a pine knob, as a knob. And for concerts, you just go sit on the hill. And so we were here at Oak Ridge Boys. So I'm going. And I'm thinking, this is great. So I wear a trench coat. It's July. I wear a trench coat. And I wear a shirt that you cannot see it. And I rolled up my pants so you cannot see them. And I go to Pine Knob in a trench coat. And we're sitting there, we're singing to Oak Ridge Boys. And I hear all these 30 and 40 year old ladies that had one too many beers telling me, "Take it off, take it off." The exact response I was hoping to generate. And I didn't think anything of it. I thought, man, this was going to be good for a laugh, and it was. And Carrie's like, "Well, why do they want you to do that?" And I thought, I'm embarrassed now. And then I start to think about my life in the church, and I think, why didn't they kick me out? I was always doing stupid stuff like that. One of the things I regret more than anything, we were over the associate pastor's house, and somebody went into the bathroom. And I thought, let's listen. So they went, and I said, "Hey, let's listen." So gathered the whole youth group up and listened. That was bad. But I think, why did they put up with me? But again, it takes the church to kind of work together. Now, don't get any ideas. That was the worst idea I ever had. And I never went to... Well, it was close. It was close. I tell you what, I never went to the bathroom at another youth group. But should somebody be taking this seriously? Yes, I think it's the church. I think it's us. And I think we need to be getting together to make sure we're doing it. Okay, I'm getting distracted, but you guys seem like you need a little something to go. Okay, so I want you to think about this. Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to have to go fast. I want you to think about this real quickly. Peter is preaching. It's after Jesus' resurrection. It's Pentecost. So he's given a sermon, and he's saying, you know, just Jesus, who you've seen do these miracles. He was crucified. He's raised from the dead. And God has made just Jesus Lord and Christ. He made him Messiah. And so you believe. So I just put down here, the people said, when they heard Peter's sermon, they said, "Well, what should we do?" Peter replies, "Repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." And then the Bible says that they repented. So think about this, if it's you. So you're there, Jesus is doing these miracles, you see him put to death, and then you hear Peter's sermon, and you realize, listen, this Jesus is not just ordinary. And so you put your faith in him. Well, then what in the world do you do? You're a Jewish person, you've been longing for the Messiah, all of a sudden he's there, he's being proclaimed that he's there. What do you do with that? And so the people got together and they started listening to the teaching of the apostles. Well, then at some point, the religious leaders, it wasn't working. They capture Stephen. They end up stoning him to death. And then a great persecution breaks out and everybody leaves except the apostles, the Bible says. So I'm thinking, what do you do? And here's what I think with this. If you put yourself in that point, in that day and time, there were 3,000 people that came to the Lord that day, but the rest of the world was not on board with Jesus. So here you are, but you're convinced, and if you're convinced, life can never be the same for you. Now, I believe that you can walk, I believe that you can choose to walk away from the Lord. I really do believe that. But I tell you this, based on what God has done in my life can never be the same. My life can never be the same. I can't live by the other rules. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Messiah. I believe in my heart that he was raised from the dead. And at the same time, I believe that he tells me, go into all the world and make disciples. And I think that's too big. How can I do that by myself? And I think he's saying, I'm not asking you to do it by yourself. That's why we have the church, but we have this huge mission. And the question is, do we have this sense together that it's essential? And I hate to even preach sermons like this because it's kind of like, well, are you doing everything right? And I'm thinking, no. But I don't want to keep not doing everything right. So I don't know how to do this message now. I'm completely shot. I don't have enough time. I don't know what I'm going to do. So we're just going to make it up as we go. Okay, but think about, I apologize. But here we have this mission going to all the world. And here we have Paul kind of explaining, here's how it's going to work. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. God has this incredible plan for us, and it's called the church. And he gives us evangelists and apostles and pastors and teachers to help us to be equipped for service. Because he's got something for us to do. The bad thing is, how many Christians, and again, with this new idea of Christianity that's crept in, that Christianity is about me. It's about me feeling good about myself. It's about me going to heaven when I die. It's about God being there for me when I need him. But it's so much more than that. All right. Let me read this. So what do you do when you are convinced that Jesus is the Messiah, but most of the world is not? How do you reach a world that does not want to be reached and is sometimes even willing to kill you for it? Now, I hope we have this sense that there is the church in parts of the world that literally are being killed for their faith. So they don't come to Jesus thinking, hey, man, this I'm in this for me. Because they live in parts of the world where your life is on the line. But it's the idea that when you know the truth that Jesus is the Messiah, what are you going to do? Your life can never be the same, even if your life is in danger. Now, that's hard for us to get a hold of. I decided what I'm going to do, okay? Buckle up. All right, I want to talk about prayer. Prayer. I said to you last week, I know some people can say, I've prayed for my kids literally every day of their life. I cannot say that. But I can say I do pray for my kids. I just have not prayed for them every day of their life. And the other day, though, I was praying for one. I think I even mentioned this a sermon or two ago. And as I was praying for this one particular one of my children, something just rose up in me. And I felt like I was just really praying the will of God. And I thought, what's going on? I feel like something inside of me, like God's Holy Spirit was calling out in me that God would do something. And I'm thinking, that's interesting how God does that. But I thought, I am a part of something spiritual and big going on. I feel like God is wanting to do something in the life of my kid. And he's willing something up inside of me. And I'm asking and begging God to do it. Prayer is this huge piece that becomes so, it's very hard for us. But I think sometimes with prayer, we just think about the discipline of prayer. And one of the things that I think is so true, and I put this in my report, and you can read it next week, is this idea that if somebody told me a close family member or a close friend were very sick, you would not have to, hey, don't forget to pray, don't forget to pray, don't forget to pray. I'd be praying all the time. Why? Because I love and care for that person. And so one of the things that I think that we just need to really get is this importance of prayer, and that prayer is the primary work of the church. So I am going to read this. Just thinking about the church. I wonder sometimes if prayer in many churches isn't synonymous with planning. And by that I mean, I think sometimes I have never or probably never started a meeting in the church without praying. Although sometimes I want to. Because I can tell that the other people in the room are saying, it's kind of like being at dinner and somebody says, are you going to eat that before you pray? And so for so many of us, it's just something that we do. But I think sometimes do we think, I need God's help with this. I try to think of how many things, how many lessons I have taught in the church, how many sermons I have preached without really going to the Lord and saying, God, I need your help. Because it's not about what I'm doing, it's about what I want you to do. And it's like, I feel like God has given us this huge mission to make a difference in the world, and it's hard. It's not hard because people are trying to kill us. I think it's hard because things are pretty good for us. I mean, there's all kinds of things we can do that doesn't involve God. But I'm thinking, hey, man, we are on a mission. God, Jesus said, go into all the world and then teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. What's your plan? How are you doing it? Well, I think the biggest issue is praying. And so you think, oh, yeah, we need more prayer meetings. We need more prayer meetings. Not necessarily. Maybe yes. But you need to pray like it means something. You need to pray like your words are doing something. And this is what we do in the church. This is what I think that we do in the church. We think, I'm not motivated to pray. And I think this, pray that God would motivate you to pray. People at work, I don't love them. Pray that God would fill your heart with love for the people you work with. I'm just not very good at that. I guess I'm just stuck. Pray that God would help you do this. You're not stuck because you don't have the right motivation. You're stuck because you're not praying. God can do all kinds of things in our life. Oh, yeah, there you go. I think I'm going to finish with this. Which means I'm going to preach the rest next week. God's miraculous work in our lives is not... I wanted to put primarily in there, but the spacing didn't work. So I'm going to put it in there now. God's miraculous work in our lives is not primarily focused on removing our problems. Most of what I hear from people is, pray for me for my problems. That is okay. If you got problems, pray for them. If you don't have a job, pray for a job. If you're sick, pray to be well. I'm not saying don't pray for problems. But God's miraculous work in our life, as I see it, is not primarily focused on removing our problems, but in changing our hearts. The Bible gives us just this great revelation of Paul saying, I asked him 3 times to remove this from me. But his words to me were, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I'm not taking that problem away. Now, again, I'm not saying don't pray for your problems, don't pray for other people's problems. But I'm saying if your primary thing is, God, I got a problem, you need to take it away, I don't think that's his big thing. I think his big thing is changing your heart. And I've shared this before, forgive me for yelling, but I'm starting to get motivated and I'm just whatever. But when I really gave my heart to the Lord, my life could not have been worse, in my opinion. We were poor. My teeth were crooked. I didn't have nice clothes. I finally saved up money to buy a great pair of tennis shoes. I should have bought Nike like everybody else, but I didn't want to be like everybody else. So I bought Brooks. Anybody know what a Brooks is? So I wore them to school, and everybody's going like, what kind of shoes are those? I'm like, what are you, an idiot? These are Brooks. I want to burn them after that. I mean, everything was bad about my life. Everything. And when God changed me, he changed my heart. He did not change my problems. My teeth and my family and everything else was all the same. We tend to focus on our problems. God wants to focus on our heart. And again, we keep looking at this mission out there and we keep thinking, oh, they're just too far gone. No, they're not. Remember what God did for you if he has done anything for you. And believe that he can do it for somebody else. No matter how far away they seem. And if you're thinking, God has not done anything for me like I feel like you're talking about, I'm saying then believe God for him to do it. I am not here because I grew up in the church, although I did grow up in the church. I am here because God so changed my life. I couldn't be the same after that. I didn't want to be a preacher. I think being a preacher is hard. Not like, oh, you know, whining hard. It's just like, I just think it frustrates me. What I wanted to do with my life was just tell people, God can change your life. He changed my life. Well, I get to do that all the time now. Just a lot of other stuff in there too. But God's miraculous work in our lives is not primarily focused on removing our problems, but in changing our hearts. So here's what I'm thinking about a church at this point in life. Again, it isn't about church attendance. It isn't about church attendance. It's about mission. Are we captivated by the mission? Or are we like me? It's not even funny. But I have literally been talking about chest muscles since probably the first time I came here. Talk. Until somebody comes up to me and say, hey, let's do something. Of course, now I can't move my neck, can't go to sleep at night, nothing else. But God has a mission for us. And the burden is not on us, it's on Him. But we got to pray. And you know what? Let me just say this, and then I'm done. When I was 17, I didn't know enough to pray for myself. Sorry about that. I didn't know enough to pray for myself. But somebody older than me knew. He knew I had problems. He knew I was a poor kid. He led our teen group. He somehow paid my way to NFC football, NYC. And I'm thinking, why are you praying for me? I'm not the worst kid in the group. But he knew. And so adults, I'm saying to you, not just for our teens, for our kids, whatever. Not even for our kids. People need the Lord, whatever their age is. But sometimes people don't know enough to even pray for themselves. So I'm saying for you, you pray for them. You pray that God would move powerfully in their life. By the way, part two of this message is good. So we're going to be done. Vote. Do we have a song that we could sing? Praise team, if you wouldn't mind coming up. Now, can I tell you what? I can excite myself. You give me 30 minutes to preach, I can get excited. But excitement doesn't do a whole lot. It's funny, since Pastor Maris has been around, where is Pastor Maris? Pastor Maris is a get things done kind of person. She can already tell. Pastor Larry is a talk about things getting done person. But I'm thinking, man, we need both. We do need to be excited about this mission. And to know that there's people out there that have no idea what God can do. But God is so badly wanting to do it in their life. Isn't that exciting? And I think we need one another to say, hey man, let's keep going. It's like, what are you doing? You're like, oh, it's too much. We pray. It's not our strength that we move in, it's His. Okay, I'm done. Let me pray though. Why don't you guys stand? Heavenly Father, I thank You for every person in this room who just really gets it. They understand that they have been saved by grace. Whatever they could bring to the table just wasn't enough. But You, in love and mercy, just saved them because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Father, thank You for every person that gets it, really gets it. Their life can never be the same. I pray that You would help them, even this day, this moment, to think, okay, well, what does that mean? How can I take this seriously? And Father, we live in a world that just wants to pour water on who we are. But then, Father, I think about people here, because I know that there are people here like this. They want their heart to be changed. They want to get it. They want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that You're real and that You love them and that they're forgiven and free. And Father, I pray that they would find that. And Father, I just want to pray now for that person that doesn't know enough to pray. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be faithful. Father, thank you. I think about the Apostle Paul. He talks about all that he did. He said, yet not I, but the grace of